In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at John 20. And on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early, when it was still dark, unto the sepulchre. Now we see that Mary Magdalene is the one that seven demons were cast out of her. She was perfectly possessed. Now she comes to the sepulchre early in the morning, even before the sun rose, looking for her master. Just one glance of his dead body would be enough. And she saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. This is what she sees. Nobody is in the tomb. The stone is taken away. What does she do? She ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said unto them, "They have taken away my Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." She has no idea about the glorious resurrection. She has no idea about what happened. The only thing she knows is that the body is not there. And she has come to the tomb to weep and to see the body once more of her beloved, the one that delivered her from the demonic. "They have taken away my Lord, and we know not where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, that's John, and they came to the tomb, to the sepulchre, and they both ran together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, he's a lot younger, and came first to the sepulchre. And when he stooped down, he saw the linen cloths lying, but yet he did not go in. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and Peter goes into the sepulchre and saw the linen cloths lying there. You see, John knows that Peter is the chief apostle. John will not go into the sepulchre until Peter arrives. Peter is very important, and we know that Peter is the first among equals, but always the first. Every time you read about Jesus with his three favorite people, it's Peter, James, and John. It's Peter, James, and John. Peter is always first. We believe that Peter is the first Holy Father, and that right now we have Peter in Rome. His name is Francis. Francis is his name. And he is the Bishop of Rome, just as Peter was the Bishop of Rome after the resurrection. And we see, comes Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre and saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that had been about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but apart, wrapped up in one place. Then that other disciple, John, also went in, who came first to the sepulchre. He saw and believed. You know, Peter might be the first, but John, the beloved, believes. He believes. He remembers Jesus saying that the Son of Man would be rejected by the elders and crucified and on the third day rise from the dead. John goes into the sepulchre, and he not only goes in, but he believes. Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in the resurrection? That Jesus Christ is truly raised from the dead, and he has appeared to Simon Peter? Do you believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting? For if Christ is not raised, and our bodies will not be raised on the last day, then we are still in our sin. Oh yes, it was not a spiritual resurrection. It was a resurrection where the body of Christ was glorious and transformed. The body of Christ was glorious and transformed, yet he still had those marks in his hands and in his feet. Let me tell you, my friends, our faith rests on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no faith apart of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John went into the sepulcher. He saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. The disciples therefore departed again to their home. I'm sure it was to the upper room or to John Mark's house. But Mary stood at the sepulcher weeping. Oh, weeping. Why is she weeping? She's weeping because they have taken away her Lord and they do not know where he is. Mary stood outside the sepulcher weeping. Now, as she was weeping, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. She sees the angelic people, the angelic, glorious angels, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body had been laid. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said unto the angels, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Oh, she is disconsolate. Just one more look at the body of Christ. Just one more look at her Lord. Just one more look, and it would be enough. "But they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have placed him." And they said to her, "Woman." When she had thus said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Let me ask you that question. Whom do you seek? Do you seek miracles? We need to seek Jesus. We need to seek Jesus. Oh, we need a miracle for my brother. We need a miracle for my brother. His kidneys are shutting down. We need a miracle. Please, please pray and sing and dance before the Lord. We need a miracle. But I want to seek Jesus. I want to seek the risen Lord. I want to seek him who died, who was buried, and who rose from the dead. I want to seek Jesus. She, thinking that it was the gardener, said unto him, remember, with the place where Jesus was laid, there was a garden. She, thinking that it was the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." Oh, it's all she needs. He needs to say. The way that Jesus says it, she knows that this is the voice of the Good Shepherd who calls his sheep by name. Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And she said unto him, "Rabboni," which is "my dear little teacher." Oh, it was so beautiful. "Rabboni, it's you, it's you." And Jesus said to her, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Now I'm going to tell you. Jesus said to her, "Don't touch me. Don't touch me." But now we have John 20, verse 25. "The other disciple therefore said unto them," but Thomas was one of the 12, called Twin, was not with them when Jesus came first of all on the first day of the week. "The other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, We have seen the Lord. But Thomas said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And 8 days later, his disciples were in that room, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus through the doors, for the doors were locked, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be to you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and touch your hand with your finger, my hand with your finger, and thrust your hand into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas said, My Lord and my God. But Jesus says unto Mary, Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. I go to my brethren and say, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What happens after he goes to see Mary Magdalene? He goes to the Father. It's a little ascension, because now Thomas can touch him. I told you it was love that beckoned Jesus. Before he went to the Father, he went to Mary to console her, because love always beckons Jesus. Oh, I want to love you with my whole heart and with my whole soul, with my whole strength, with my whole mind. I need the Holy Spirit, Lord. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and these things he said unto me. Now when it was late that same day, the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews. They're scared for fear of the Jews. Why are they afraid? Well, they're afraid that once they took Jesus, now they'll come and take the ones that followed him. So they locked the door. They locked the door for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be to you. You know, he knows what they need. They don't need a Mercedes-Benz. They don't need a new car. They don't need a house by the ocean. They need peace. Maybe that's you today. You need peace. I need peace. Only the peace that comes from the risen Lord. Peace be to you. Peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And he said therefore to them again, Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Do you know that Jesus was sent by the Father to die, to be buried, and to rise from the dead? Do you know, as the Father sent Jesus, so he sends you? Who have you been sent to this week? Who have you been sent to this week? Have you gone out to somebody who needed you to go out and to love them and to bring them to Jesus? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. We are those that are being sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are those that are being sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. He sends us that wherever we are, we want to bring people to Jesus and Jesus to people. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, we are so in need. And he said therefore to them again, Peace be to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, Receive you the Holy Spirit. This breath was not like a breath on their head. It was like in their mouths. He breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought Pentecost was when they received the Holy Spirit. No, it was Easter when they received the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, that Spirit was released and it became well, bubbling up. I tell you, they received the Holy Spirit on Easter, but on Pentecost, 50 days later, that Spirit of God is poured out. That Spirit of God cannot be managed. It's bigger than all of them. And what's the first thing they do? They leave the locked doors and they go and preach. And Peter preaches, This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. But on Easter, they received the Holy Spirit. And at Pentecost, 50 days later, that Spirit became a gusher. That Spirit became a well with bubbling up. That Spirit became what Jesus said, those who thirst, come to me and drink, for out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That's what happened at Pentecost. Rivers of living water. Then the next line, whose sins you shall forgive, they shall be forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they shall be retained. Here we have the institution of the sacrament of penance, speaking to the apostles, not to everybody, but to the apostles. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. How many of you have gone to the sacrament? How many of you have just made this sacrament something that really didn't happen? Yet Jesus says, whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. And I tell you that this sacrament is a very important sacrament. It's a very important sacrament to be able to go to somebody who loves the Lord and to tell them, I have sinned and these are the things I have done. And then to be covered with the blood of Jesus, for there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. To be covered with the blood of Jesus, yes. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. Now Thomas, one of the 12, who was called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, oh, we have seen the Lord. They're all excited. But Thomas said to them, except I shall see in the hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into its side, I will not believe. 8 days later, Jesus said to his disciples, 8 days later again, his disciples were in that upper room, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be with you, peace be to you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger hither and your hand in my side, and do not be faithless, but become a believer. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. I tell you, we are the blessed ones. We have not seen. I have never seen Jesus. I have prayed with people and they have seen him, but I have never seen Jesus. I have seen him in the face of the needy. I have seen him in the faces of the broken, but I have never seen Jesus personally. Not yet. No, well, maybe that's not true. I saw him crucified once. I saw him crucified. I saw the whole crucifixion, that Jesus Christ was outside the walls. I didn't see the walls, but I saw Jesus, and he was dying, and he was filled with flies. That's what I saw. And you know what? No one ever told me that the people outside the walls would be filled with flies when the blood would be drying and the flies would be on Jesus. Not only was he absorbing our sins, not only was he forgiving us, not only did he die for us, but he was filled with flies. I had to turn my face. I didn't want to see it anymore. I didn't want to see it anymore. It was too painful to look at. It was too painful. So Thomas, come on, be a believer. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Oh, yes, this is who Jesus is. When the Jehovah Witnesses come, you say, yeah, my Lord and my God. When we raise up the sacred host, my Lord and my God. When we raise up the precious blood of Jesus, my Lord and my God. Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. I tell you, if Jesus can come through the doors, I tell you that he can be present under the form of bread. I tell you that he knows how to do these things. This is a miraculous experience. But if Jesus can come through the doors, I tell you, Jesus Christ can come and just be what under the form of bread, the Blessed Sacrament, that he can be the Blessed Eucharist. Yes, he is. It is not that Jesus is present in the sacrament. Jesus is the sacrament. Yeah, under the form of bread and wine, always under the form of bread and wine. Then it says, many other signs also did Jesus do in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written. Why? That you may believe. Oh, yes, these signs and wonders have been written that you may believe that Jesus Christ came into the upper room, that Jesus Christ appeared to Mary Magdalene, that Jesus Christ appeared to Thomas, and he was to touch the wounds. I tell you, these have been written so that you may believe. The whole experience of John's gospel is that you would believe. And I tell you, that's why we say to people when they come to Jesus, the first thing they are to read is the Gospel of John. Why? These things have been written to you that you may believe, and having believed in Jesus, you would have life in his name. Life in the name of Jesus. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? I tell you, I need the faith of God to continue to believe. By grace, by grace, by grace. We believe by grace through faith. We believe by grace. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is in love with you. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is in love with you. He died on a cross and was buried, and on the third day he rose again. As the scriptures have told us, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is thinking about you right now at the Father's right hand. He has you in remembrance. He places you in the heart of the Father. Jesus, we come to you today as the risen Lord, and we ask you that by the power of your blood, you would touch your people in such a profound way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Dr. Jean, who has cancer. I pray for my brother Anthony, that his kidneys would start working. Oh God, that his kidneys would start working. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that his kidneys would start working. I pray for the people who call me on the phone. Oh Jesus, I pray for my little friend Andrew, that you would continue to heal our little friend Andrew. Please, Lord, you are the Lord. You are the one who died and rose. You are the one that gave your life for us. Jesus, it doesn't cost you anything to bring healing to people, because you already paid the price. You paid the price on Calvary. Lord, help us to love you as Mary Magdalene loved you, because love always beckons, Jesus. Give us the grace to love you from our hearts, because love always beckons, Jesus. Even Peter didn't see Jesus before Mary Magdalene, but she was in love with Jesus, not sexually, but she knew that he had delivered her from all the torment of the demonic, and she came early in the morning while it was still dark. Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you, we praise you, we bless you, we honor you, we adore you. You are the risen Lord, and we come to you today asking for miracles. We need miracles, Jesus. We seek your face, but we need miracles, Lord. Miracles that only you can do. And you know, you promised us that we would lay hands upon the sick and they would be healed. I have seen it so many times. Now we ask for two people especially, Dr. Jean, who is a Polish doctor who is very sick, that he would be healed, and for my brother's kidneys, that he would be healed in his kidneys. Oh, Father, we praise you, we bless you, we worship you, and we glorify you. I ask you to continue to pray for my brother. I am very grateful. His name is Anthony, and he is receptive to prayer now. When I go and see him, he is receptive to prayer, but he's getting a little discouraged because his kidney function is very low. So please pray for him. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. This ministry is solely run by the prayers and gifts of the people of God. I am not paid. I tell you, I preach the gospel. That's all I was called to do. I was not called to get rich because of the gospel. I was called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in season and out of season. And to tell you the truth, my friends, it's out of season today. It's out of season, but yet I still did it by the grace of the living God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word." And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. May Jesus, risen from the dead, visit you and bring you everything that you need. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.